It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. If you are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
I've been looking at the scriptures about praise. And one of the things that we have come to understand so far is that praise should be a characteristic of the life of the Christian. It is what a Christian ought to do every day in his life. In Chronicles, we saw that King David appointed certain people who had the responsibility of just praising God every day. That was all their job in the whole of their lives. As far as the kingdom of Israel was concerned, these guys got no other job. They didn't have to go to the farm. Come into the temple and just begin to worship God. Sing praises to God. Why would David do that? He understood that wherever praise is, God comes to dwell in there. He inhabits the praises of his people. So one of the things you must do for God to dwell in your life is to fill your life with praises of God. And your house, I remember a great man of God said he had a big house and a big yard. And what he would do is he put music everywhere in his house. And in his yard, he connected loudspeakers. And every day, 24/7, you will hear good music of praises to God in his yard and in his house. Why would he do that? He understands that God inhabits his praises. So if you want God to dwell in your house 24/7, put praise of God in your house. You have heard me say this again and again. I sing praises even when I'm at work. I'm at work and the people wonder, why is he always happy? I told you before, one day, my boss said, even if I had a tough time before I arrived at work, the moment I step in and I see you, strength wells up in me. Does it mean everybody around you will make you happy? Everybody around you, everything that's happening around you will make you joyful so that you'll be singing? No, it doesn't mean so. But praising God is by choice. You choose to praise God, not because everybody around you is making you happy, but you are praising God because God deserves praise anyway. The circumstances of your life will not change whom God is. And you will only allow it change you if you allow it. If you don't allow it, it's not going to change who you are. I'm a bundle of blessings. Irrespective of what I see around me, I know that I have been blessed. Brothers and sisters, your blessing is not measured by how much you have in your house. It's not measured by how much you have in your bank account. Is measured by the glory of God that is upon your spirit. David said the last time we saw that in Psalms chapter 7, verse 17, David said, I will praise God according to his righteousness, not according to my experience. My experiences may not look good. They may suggest that the best is not going to happen. But I'm going to praise God because I know what his word has said concerning me. He said the path of the righteous, the path of the just, the path of the one that is loving God, that the path of the person whom God has chosen to bless, the path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter, more and more, unto a perfect day. It doesn't matter how dark it looks now. Watch out for me tomorrow. I'm getting brighter. Same David said in Psalms 1, he said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in his season. When you understand like David understood, irrespective of what I see, is the word of God that is true concerning me. I am like the tree that is planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaf doth not wither. But I bear fruit every time. He says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And I explained that to you last week. What does it mean that the Lord knows the way of the righteous? It means that the way of the righteous might look crooked. It might look blocked. It might look rough. It might look like, where is this one leading to? It looks like it's not making progress. It looks like it's even going backward. What's happening to the righteous? He said, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, how would you understand what he means by the Lord knows the way of the righteous? He tells you that the way of the wicked shall perish, which means the way of the righteous shall come unto prosperity. In John chapter 11, certain persons brought information to Jesus about his friend who was ill. Now, there was this family that was apparently Jesus' best friend. They didn't have parents anymore. There was this young woman, Martha, and a younger sister, Mary, and their brother, Lazarus. They lived in Bethany, that was just some hours away from Jerusalem. A lot of times when Jesus go to Jerusalem to preach or to do some ministry work, when he would finish at the end of the day, he had nowhere to stay in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was a very busy city, you know, busy hub, and a choked city, a city that is, the population is choky. You hardly find a house where you can, do you have some space here where we can stay with you? It's like when you go to the city of Sydney, the houses there are so small, the rooms are so small. That's how Jerusalem was like. Choky city, very choky. And this was a guy who was carrying 12 people along with him. So they are now 13. Which house were they going to enter? Even if we have room, we don't have food. That was Jerusalem. Now, where would Jesus keep his 12 men? He will carry them to Bethany, where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was. It was some hours away from Jerusalem, but it was the safest place to go. But I've shown to you before that fig made a mistake. By nature, everything responds to God's children. I've shown you a mystery. If you don't have a job and you desire a job, go to a company and collect one. Now, this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany sent a message to where Jesus was. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister, Martha. Verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So Lazarus, Jesus loved Lazarus. And the kind of love Jesus loved Lazarus was so strong that everybody knew it. So they didn't say, behold, Lazarus, our brother, is sick. That's not what they said. They said, behold him whom thou lovest. Because even the sisters, at a point, they said, we are the one who cooked the food. I sit at his feet when he's teaching. I suppose I paid the bill. How come when this guy comes to this house, all his attention is on Lazarus? And then that Lazarus was sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. When Jesus said this, Lazarus was not there to hear it. So the situations of your life, God is speaking about it now. You may not be hearing it in your ears, but he says something about it. He said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. There is not one situation that will happen in the life of a Christian. How was Lazarus described? Him whom thou lovest. Has God withdrawn his love from you? Paul said, if God so loved us that he will give us Jesus, his son, even while we were yet sinners, what do you think about now that you have been called into him? His love has expanded upon you. So if you are the one whom God loves, if God so loved you, that he will not withhold his only son from you to die for you. Jesus died for you. That means he loves you. If he so loved you to give his only son for you, that's the way God is. When he gave Jesus to die, he wasn't giving Jesus to die for so many people. He was giving Jesus to die for me. For you. Every single one of you. Jesus died for you as if you are the only human being that was there. That shows how much God loves you. Now, the Bible said, the guy whom Jesus loves, he said, this sickness is not unto death. There is nothing that happens in your life that is unto death. There is nothing that happens in your life that goes down. Everything that happens in your life is unto the glory of God. When you understand that, when the thing begins to happen, when others are wondering, we are going to see what he's going to do. But you are dancing and praising God. And then they are wondering, what's wrong with this guy? We thought he's going down. But you know that when men are cast down, you say there is a lifting up. He says, unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Next verse. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he did what? He abhorred 2 days still in the same place where he was. You see, I've been praying about this thing. God has not done anything. If there looks like there is a delay, it doesn't mean a denier. Jesus said the scriptures could not be broken. If God has said that your life is a success life, that your life is a victory life, it might look like it's not happened so. God could never lie. Verse 20. Now, I'm going to skip some of the verses from 20. To 24. But I'll tell you what is there. Jesus showed up eventually. The guy has been dead. Now he's been dead for 4 days because the distance from where Jesus was to where they were was also far. Now Jesus arrived eventually at where the guy was. He's been dead for 4 days. They said, Master, if you had come on time while the guy was sick, we know you have enough power to have prevented him from dying. But now he's dead. Jesus said, show me where you laid him. He said, where we laid him? He's there. He's dead. He's thinking now. It's 4 days he's been in the grave. Jesus said he will live again. It doesn't matter how your situation in life is. The situation might be dead and buried and stinking, but God says it will come back alive again. In verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, when Jesus steps into your situation in life, everything that was dead will come back to life. It doesn't matter what the situation is like. If Jesus is in that situation, resurrection come to that situation. Though he were dead, yet he shall live. And if you read it further to the next verse, you will find that one of the scriptures that I discovered that the man talking to you, this man, Marvin, I'm never going to taste of death, not one day. Does that sound strange to some people's ears? You've heard me say I could never be sick one day of my life. When I started to say it, they said, we shall see. And this is 25 years gone. They got tired and they left me alone. And I have been saying I could not taste of death one day of my life. Because of what the word of God said. If God is true and the scriptures cannot be broken, then I know. Listen, let me tell you one thing quickly. When I discovered this scripture, that it's possible not to die at all. I actually searched the scriptures. I saw that a guy who lived so many years ago before Jesus even came to the earth, his name is Enoch. And the Bible said of Enoch, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He said, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And in verse 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then I picked out something from there. I said, this is a revelation that I can walk with. A man, by his own faith, he walked with God, and he did not see death. Because by his own faith, not by God's faith, by his own faith, he refused to die. He said, all men could be dying. I am not going to die. One man, by his faith, he refused to die.
and he would not see death. By his faith, he pleased God. And because of his pleasing God, God translated him so that he should not see death, because his faith denies to die. And when I discovered that, I said, if a man who did not know Jesus face to face, Jesus had not come, these scriptures have not been declared. He said in this verse, the person who was dead, if he hears my voice, he will come back to life. I said, the one that is alive that has not died, he will not taste of death at all. I said, I am that one that has not died. I will not taste of death at all. Listen, it is up to you what you want to do with the word of God. In Psalms 22, and the things that happened in David's life, God allowed them, orchestrated them, so that David prophetically could prophesy Jesus that was to be born from his lineage. So those things that happened in David's life, they were so terrible that David began to speak about his own life, but he was prophetically also talking about Jesus when Jesus comes on earth. Psalms chapter 22, I like verse 16, first of all. He says, for dogs have compassed me. Now, if you want to understand what dogs is, read what Apostle Paul talked about dogs, okay? Now, he said, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. He was describing his life. He probably didn't know that he was also describing the future or the life of Jesus, the Messiah that will be born from his lineage. He said, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. That is, the situation of his life has drained him out. He has fasted. He has done everything. If he takes his shirt off, you can see his ribs. This was King David talking. Next verse, 18. They parted my garment among them and cast lot upon my vesture. Now some of you begin to realize that he was also prophesying Jesus. Now, if you read the whole of that chapter from the beginning, you'll see the kind of things David went through, which also affected Jesus when he came on earth. Now, let's go to verse 25. He said, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. This is the man that is battered. They are trying to tear him apart with all kind of false accusations. They are trying to tear this guy apart by everything that they could. He said, dogs have compassed me. He said, the assembly of the wicked, they have surrounded me. He says, but listen, he says, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear thee. It doesn't matter how terrible the situation looks like. He says, I will praise the Lord. The reason you need to fill your life with praise is because your life is not dependent on how it looks now. Your life is dependent on the future God has set for you. The circumstances of your life does not change whom God is. It does not change who you are. It does not change your destiny. It does not change it. So what would you do? You will praise God with understanding. What is the understanding you need to put in your mind? God's righteousness is unwavering. He loves me every day of my life. And my future is dependent on him and not on my circumstances. My future, my victory is dependent on him and not on how things look like. God was talking to Jacob. And he said to Jacob, he said, your name has been changed from Jacob the cheat to Israel the prince of God. He says, because as a man, thou hast power with God and with man. In other words, you now have power in the spirit realm and in the realm of the ordinary human being. He says, you have power with God and with man and has prevailed. He said, and thou hast prevailed. So what God was saying to Jacob, which is also what he was saying to the church, to you and to me, is that listen to this. He said, it doesn't matter what obstacles you are going to face in life. You have won already. Another obstacle, I take you ahead of the obstacle. You have won already. He says, you are a victor, irrespective of your challenges. You are a winner. It doesn't matter what happens. So if you understand that, brothers and sisters, when the challenges start, you start to praise God.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. this is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at cesydney@gmail.com. That is cesydney@gmail.com. God bless you.